I wasn't there by the shores of Galilee when Jesus touched those blinded eyes and made them see. And though I did not see the empty tomb that day, I still believe, for I know what Jesus did for me. I believe there is power in the blood of the Lamb, and I believe there is healing in the touch of His hand. But the greatest of all miracles was when Jesus saved me, for I know what Jesus did for me. I have seen the lowest sin sick soul have life anew and be made pure, pure and whole. I have felt Him loose the chains of sin and set my spirit free. Yes, I know what Jesus did for me. I believe there is power in the blood of the Lamb, and I believe there is healing in the touch of His hand. But the greatest of all miracles was when Jesus saved me. Yes, I know what Jesus did for me. But the greatest of all miracles was when Jesus saved me. Yes, I know what Jesus did for me.
A lot of years now, quite a few years, not a lot of years, but quite a few years, the Lord spoke to my heart about the ministry, and for 30 years, I pastored four churches in 30 years, and then the Lord changed my direction and changed my field. And He put me in the Bible ministry. We had a mission conference in our church, and Dr. Ferret came to our church and preached a mission conference. And God began to speak to my heart about the Beams Bible ministry. Our church started supporting Beams, and the church still supports Beams that I was pastoring. I really enjoyed pastoring, and if I was... If that's what God wanted me to do, I would have done it the rest of my life, as long as I could. But the Lord changed my gears, and I thank God for it, because we've been able to get into a lot of churches, be a help to a lot of preachers, young preacher boys, just started pastoring, and the Lord was so good to us, and I thank Him today. We started... that day with no salary, and I had my own home. I had utilities. I had a car payment. I had all the payments that you probably would have, and I had a good paycheck. And the Lord speaking to my heart, of course, that had a lot of bearing on what I was going to do. And I really fought with the Lord for 2 years, and finally the Lord got me in the corner where I had to make the decision, yes, for the Lord. You know, I used to be, every time I saw a missionary, I wanted to go to mission field. Every time I saw a work in missions, and I believe that's normal. I believe every pastor would like to be, he'd like to have he'd like to see people saved in every service. He'd like to go somewhere and preach to people who never heard the message of redeeming grace. God has put the preach in the soul and heart of a man of God. And I thank God for the call. But God began to deal in my life, and I started this ministry, and I wasn't completely on board until I went to Africa. And I was in Africa for 3 weeks, in Zambia, Africa. And I saw the work there and preached to 4,000 people. And I saw them come down the aisle, and about 450 got saved in the meeting that we were in. I saw people come and receive Bibles. I saw preachers look with joy in their heart and tears in their eyes to receive a bag of Bibles to be able to take back to their churches and give to people. What a blessing it was. When I got back on that airplane and started home, I had what I needed. I'd gone into a deaf church, 200 people plus in that church. And those 200 plus people, none of them could speak but just the pastor. And he spoke to the people through his hands, but he spoke to us, the men that were there at the church visiting, verbally. But we went looking at his ministry. And we went into this one room, and there was about 15 young men in that room. They were preacher boys, deaf preacher boys. They were training for the ministry. And as they were training for the ministry, they were training through their pastor in his hands. He was teaching them from it with his hands, the Word of God. And one day, Beams brought Bibles to Africa, there to Zambia, and this young man stood and gave testimony to us of what he had learned. He said, "You know, we can hear our pastor through his hands." He said, "But when Beams brought Bibles," he said, "we can read, and we're learning. We're learning. We're able, better able, and we'll be sooner going out to do our ministry than what we would have if we did not have the Bibles." I'm so glad that I can be a part of such a ministry as the Beams Bible Ministry. And so God has blessed us to be able to go into different countries and see the work firsthand and what God is able to do. I want to preach to you tonight for a little while from Isaiah chapter 55, beginning with verse number 8. Isaiah 55 and verse number 8. But before we begin, let's first go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing. Our blessed Heavenly Father and our God, we thank You, Lord, tonight for the privilege we have to preach another message. Lord, we thank You for the call. I pray, Father, the Holy Spirit of God would use us. Lord, would use us to speak to hearts. And Lord, that when folks leave the place, this church tonight, that they would love their Bible more than they did when they come. We thank You for what You're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. In the book of Isaiah, if you would like to stand and honor the word of God, Isaiah chapter 55, beginning with verse number 8. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." Thank you. You may be seated. God says here that His words are not our words. He says His thoughts are not our thoughts. He says my ways are not your ways. What is God's ways? How does God speak to our hearts? I realize sometimes in the still of the night, God may speak to your heart. I realize that sometimes God may speak to you through the lips of somebody else, a preacher or a witness, a testimony, a teacher. Sometimes God may speak to you in one way or the other, but mostly God will speak to you through His Word. He'll speak to you through the book. But we realize from the Bible that our ways are not God's ways. You see, God has a purpose, and the purpose of God is to get the Word of God into the heart of a human being. What God wants to do, He wants us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, but He wants us to get it to them so that He might get it into their heart. You see, something happened to you whenever you received the Word of God. Something happened to you whenever the Word of God was preached. No person will ever leave like they come when they sit in the audience of the Word of God. The Bible says it's like a two-edged sword. And it'll go down into the marrow of your life and down into the depths of your soul, and it'll speak to your heart, and it'll motivate you in one way or another. You'll say yes to God, or you'll say no, I'm not interested. But God will begin and continue to speak to your heart. You know, God's Word is wiser than any other word ever has been. I don't believe any writing has ever been like the Word of God. Verses 8 and 9, He said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than yours." You know, I hear a lot of people say sometimes, they say, "Well, now this is what I believe." And I want to say, "Why, you little two-by-squirt, what do you mean trying to tell God what to do? What do you mean trying to tell God what you want to do and how you want to do it and how He ought to do things and how God ought to create the earth and all these things? And what would you do?" The Bible said the earth is in our mind. We don't know much about heaven. We know what we read from the pages of the Word of God. We know about heaven from the Word of God. We know about God from the pages of the book we have. We learn how God is. We learn that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We learn about God from the Word of God. And when God begins to speak to our heart, He begins to place His Word in our heart and our soul. He begins to motivate us. He begins to woo us. And He begins to draw us unto Himself. But that starts at the point of salvation. You see, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You know, I know a lost person can read John 3:16 and get saved. I know that somebody can read John 10:9-10, Romans 10:9-10, verse 13, and they can get saved. I believe they can. I believe that they can get saved by reading the Scriptures on the point of salvation. But let me tell you, they can't understand the depths of God's Word until they've been born again. The Holy Spirit of God has to convey the Word of God to our hearts. Amen? And God will convey His Word to our hearts, but a hungry world needs the Word of God, and we must sow this book as never before in our lives. The Bible says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." You see, as the plant life of our world and as the plant life receives water for growth and for sustenance, so do we need the Word of God. This old lost and dying world that we live in needs the Word of God. This old lost and dying world that we live in, it doesn't need more education. It doesn't need more money. It don't need those things. What it needs is the Bible. You see, God can do in their hearts and their lives of nations overseas and things. They don't need our money and they don't need our food like they need the Word of God that we have. You see, we need to send the missionaries to a lost and dying world. And as we send them to the lost and dying world, equip them with the Word of God as they take the Word of God, because it's not the missionary that does it, it's the Word of God that does it. It's an awesome task, and the devil sure won't like it. I believe the ministry of the Bible, I believe it's one of the hardest ministries because of the accomplishment. You see, the devil don't want the Bible getting in your mind. That's why he gives you every excuse not to be in church. That's why when you sit down to read the Word of God, there's 1,000 things to do. Your mind is occupied by other things. You're drawn to other things because the devil certainly doesn't want you to read the Word of God. When you start reading the Word of God, the old devil, he says, I need to get them out of the Word of God because they grow by the Word of God. The Bible said faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You see, the devil knows that. And we ought to know that. You see, if we can get the Word of God to people like people in the places that we're fighting, even today, Afghanistan and Iraq and other places, if we could get the Word of God there, and we do get the Word of God in those places to some degree, we send Bibles to our soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan. And we ask them, please, when you leave, don't bring the Bible back. Leave it where there, where you found it. Don't bring it home. And every soldier that goes overseas, we try to get them the Word of God, that they might take the Word of God with them. You see, they become missionaries. If they're born again, they become missionaries, and they lay the Bible down or give it to someone over there, and that's that many more Bibles that's gotten out around the world. This year, we hope to send over 100,000 Bibles. That's our goal, to do that, because we realize the importance of getting the Word of God over there. You see, the Word of God has a great effect in people's lives from what we see right here. You see, as the water, the rain and the snow does for plant life, and as it needs the water to live, if it didn't rain for five years, what in the world would happen? What would happen? It'd all dry up. And a lot of us would be dead. And it wouldn't be long after that till we were, because let me tell you, we need the water. And as we need the water, this scripture is talking about the Word. And he said, so is my word that goeth forth out of my mouth. He said it needs to go. The world needs the Word. You see, the way of God, the way God works is through the Word of God. The way He works is through us planting the Scriptures in the hearts of people, but putting the Bible before a child of God, a new convert, can grow by the Word of God. And that's why it's so important to that person over there. Our purpose in Beams Bible Ministry is to put the Bible in the hands of someone who has been born again and shows a definite interest in the Word of God. You see, that person needs to grow. And as they read the Word of God, they'll grow. They'll grow. So the purpose of the Word is God wants the Word to get inside of a person's heart. Now the plan of the Word of God we find in verses 1 to verse 3 of Isaiah 55. He said, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come you to the waters, and he that hath no money, come and you buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. He doesn't want it to be costly. I'm glad that what our ministry does is we're trying. It's not free by any means, but it should be free to the person that has no Bible. Amen? And wherefore do we spend money for that which is not bread? And you labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. And let your soul delight itself in the fatness. You see, the Word of God, he says, is like that. But he says, God says he wants people to come to him. He wants us to go into all the world and draw people through the Word of God, preaching to them and giving them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And everyone is thirsty for something. Did you know that? I guarantee you can go any place in this world that we live in, and they're worshiping something or someone or some object of something. What is that? Why is that? God created man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. But when God created man in his own image, he created a place for him. He created a place for this book in the heart of a man in this world. That man, woman, boy, or girl, whenever they sit down with the Word of God on their lap, they sit down with the Word of God around in the church or wherever it may be, and they begin to preach the Word of God, that Bible begins to have an effect in that life, and it completes that individual by the Word. You see, that's what the Word of God does. And that's what it's so important for us to get the Bible into a place where there's no Bibles. Because when we do that, it can change the lives of people. Everyone is hungry for something. You know, there are people filling their lives with everything else. They're filling it with every kind of an ism. They're filling it with every kind of a false god. They're filling it with all kinds of booze and drugs and every other thing, trying to satisfy the draw of their soul to something. But God. God is the answer. God's their need. God's who they need. Those that would be in those places, and the witch doctors and the priests and all these kind of people with the falsisms and false gods. What they need is the Word of God, and they need to be directed in the right direction. False religion will not satisfy the heart of man. It takes the Bible to do that. God's Word will satisfy your heart and your thirst. Every time the Lord said to the woman that came to the well, he said, if you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. I thank God I drank of that water back in 1967, and you know what? I haven't been thirsty since. God began to work in my life, and I began to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you continue to grow as a child of God through the Word. That's why he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why he says to us that, he said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why he wants people to come to church. That's why he wants you in church. That's why your pastor encourages you to be at his feet here listening to the Word of God. It's not to get a crowd. He knows that this book must be in your heart, and the more this book is in your heart, the more this world isn't there. The Bible is the instrument of salvation and sanctification in the life of an individual. Someone who trusts the Lord in their heart as their personal Savior, God works in their life. They begin to grow thereby. You know, you don't grow as fast sometimes as you do others. Sometimes it's slow, sometimes a little faster. But you know, we grow by the Word of God. The Bible says in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13, he says in that verse, but every man but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been made assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, or the woman of God, that individual that reads, and the one that's saved who begins to read the Word of God, that they may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. You see, it's the Bible that makes the difference in your life and mine. He's what makes the difference in us. I'm nothing. And you're nothing by yourself. But when the Word of God begins to have its real way, its way in our life, we begin to shine. The light begins to shine in our life. And he begins to polish our globe with the Word of God, and as he polishes our life begins to shine, because then we begin to propagate the Word of God to a lost and dying world. That's the answer. The answer is to get the Word of God to the people who need the Word of God. The path of God's free Word. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7, the Bible says, in verses 6 and 7, he says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." You see, when the Word of God begins to work in someone's life, the path of salvation, that path that encourages and strengthens us and draws us and brings us to Him, and we get saved, and then He begins to change our life. He'll do that here. He'll do that in Africa. He'll do that in Romania. He'll do that in all the countries around the world. It'll work everywhere. I believe that with all my heart. God will not fail. The failing has been on our part. The fields are white into harvest, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest that He'll send more workers into the harvest field. Seek and call. Forsake sin. Forsake the evil. Forsake sin. God will abundantly pardon, and He tells us He will, and He will strengthen our life. Finally, we find the pleasantness of the Word of God. In Isaiah 55, verse 12 and verse 13, he says, "For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be for the Lord for a sign, for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." But he says the trees will clap their hands. Now, this is not talking about a tree out there in the forest, but you know, I've seen trees clap their hands. You said, "Come on now, preacher." Yeah, I have. When a storm comes up back over in the west, and it hadn't rained for a long time, and it gets dry and turns to drought, and everything's dry and parched, And all at once there comes a cloud out of the west, and it begins to come toward the east. You look at the trees, and you realize they'll turn over their leaves and begin to wave in the air, looking, waiting for that moisture that's coming from the west. I'd like to see a lost world doing that for the Word of God. I thank God, he says, as that word gets there, it won't ever be cut off. You know, I remember Europe. I remember reading about Europe. I remember reading about the revivals in Europe years and years ago. And Bibles were burned. And they tried to destroy every Bible in Europe. And Catholicism tried to destroy them all. Bloody Mary and all the priests and such over there at that time tried to destroy all the Bibles. They burned and they piled and they burned. But they didn't get them all. You know why they didn't get them all? Because of the last verse here. It says, "And they shall not be cut off." Amen. It shall not be cut off because someone will, after all is said and done, and everybody has gone, and then all of the communists and all the others, they'll pull the Bible out from under a shelf or out from under a drawer or maybe some hiding place, and they'll open it and they'll look down and begin to smile and read the Word of God. You see, God says that He can work in people's lives. He can change the lives of people. And I believe our ministry can do that with your help and with the help of others that will have a part in the Bible ministry. I hope you'll help us in that area. Let me ask you something tonight. Are you reading your Bible? Or are you allowing it to sit on the coffee table? Or are you allowing it to lay up in the shelf where you laid it whenever you got home on Sunday night or Wednesday night or Sunday after church, Sunday morning, and picked it up on the next Wednesday night and pulled it out, put it under your arm, and took off to the church? Let me tell you something, my friend. You need that Bible in your heart. You're not too strong for the Bible. You haven't arrived yet. There's not a person in this building that's arrived where they don't need the Word of God. You need that Word of God. You say, "Well, I'm not as close to God as I used to be." You know why? I'll tell you why. It's because you're not reading the Bible. You get into the Word of God, and God will get into you. You get more into the Word of God, and God will get more into you if you'll let Him. Let's stand. Father, we thank You, Lord, tonight for the opportunity You've given us. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would have this will and